It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Sandra Smith, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, November 25th, 2022. I'm Dave Anthony. Actually, I should have said Black Friday. It's the big kickoff to the Christmas shopping season.
I think at best this is a so-so holiday. And once you adjust for inflation, for gosh sakes, it's pretty clear the sales will be negative.
I'm Chris Foster. Abby Hornacek's hitting national parks across the country for her Fox Nation show, Parked.
People hear that we're in season six and they're like, oh, wow, are you going to go international when Parked is over? And I'm like, well, we still got a long way to go.
And I'm Tommy Lahren. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
The day after all the Thanksgiving feasting comes the Christmas shopping. It's Black Friday when some people wake up early and wait till the stores open trying to get those doorbuster deals, though not everybody.
I've actually already purchased all of my items for this year.
Well, that must be nice.
For me, I try to get all my good gifts ahead of time, and that way it's actually easier for me to budget as well.
Well, for the rest of us just starting, the National Retail Federation projects 166 million Americans will be shopping between Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday, and about 7 in 10 of them will be doing it on Black Friday. And the NRF estimates we'll be spending more, perhaps as much as $960 billion in this whole holiday shopping season, predicting sales will rise 6-8%, though that's just about the rate of inflation over the last year, so maybe we won't be buying that much more. But Black Friday will set the pace.
Well, no one really knows what's going to happen on Black Friday, and the reason is because retailers have so heavily diluted Black Friday that it's become more of an advertising buzzword than an actual real day.
Jerry Storch is the head of Storch Advisors, a retail veteran. He's been the CEO of Toys R Us and HBC, the parent of Saks and Lord & Taylor, and he was a vice chairman at Target.
How have they diluted it? Well, first of all, since early October, there hasn't been a single day when there wasn't a Black Friday sale going on somewhere, someplace at one of the big retailers in the U.S.
Yeah, I've seen these signs everywhere. Black Friday, like, I think that was October, right? Like you said, it's been a long time.
Well, it really started in droves in early October, but some retailers had Black Friday in July. And, you know, throughout this week of Thanksgiving, every day is Black Friday at most retailers. If you've noticed, since Sunday, they keep adding more and more and more and more and keep saying Black Friday today, more Black Friday deals, early Black Friday deals. You know, it's just Black Friday just means a good deal to people. So no one really knows what's going to happen on the day itself.
So how do you know when you go to the store that the deal you're getting is really a good deal? Or what if you waited a few weeks?
Well, you can never know for sure. But by this time of year, if it's on sale, it's a pretty good deal. And if you wait, it may not be there. You know, in my years and years of retailing, I have to tell you that the worst day for the retailer from a margin rate perspective, the rate being how much, what percent they earn on each sale, it's absolutely the worst gross margin day in retailing on Black Friday. That means the retailer is giving the most away on Black Friday. I don't care what anyone else says. Some people say, oh, it's not the best day. Well, I'm telling you, on the bottom line, it's the worst day for the retailer, which means it's the best day for the consumer.
There are those doorbuster deals, you know, the ones where you have to be there at a certain time. How does a retailer decide on those products? How does that work?
We buy them all year long. This holiday is barely over before in January, you know, the manufacturers and the retailers are looking at what didn't sell last holiday. And they're saying, you know what, we could save it till next year and make it a Black Friday special. So all year, wherever you are, when somebody has a lot of something or they're saying it's pretty good stuff, but, you know, it's not going to sell right now. Everyone says, let's save it and make it a Black Friday special. And that's how you can say it's 50% off. It's 60% off. Everyone knows the brand new stuff is rarely 50% off.
What's the best thing for people to be buying on a day like this? Is it clothing, electronics, toys? Is there anything in particular?
Well, the most heavily footballed items tend to be electronics and toys, because those are items that are identifiable by the consumer and they can price shop for them. Things like clothing, it's kind of hard to say, is that a good deal or a bad deal? I mean, who knows the thread weight on a garment, or, you know, or what the price of cotton is right now. So that's a little harder to know exactly what kind of deal you're getting. But again, I would say anything you buy on sale on Black Friday is a pretty good deal. People are so worried about that. I think it's like you need the last 3% or something. It's a pretty good deal. If you see something you want, that's what you should be buying.
You know, we've been dealing with inflation and high prices. It's been a real difficult time for the consumer. That doesn't make it any easier for the retailer. So how are retailers dealing? Because the cost in your industry has gone up too to get some of these items. So how do you do it?
Well, look, it's a pretty tough time in retail right now. It's no secret that many retailers reported very poor results through the first part of this year. And some of the retail stocks have gone up. Some of them reported this week and they had big bounces. But it wasn't because they're doing so great in absolute terms. It's because they were doing better than very lowered expectations. A lot of them are running negative same-store sales. Very difficult environment. So, you know, a lot of consumers' money's being eaten up by the necessities in life, like the cost of the Thanksgiving meal is up double digits. The cost of gasoline is still up double digits year over year. So the consumer looks at what they got left, and that's what they have to spend. So retailers are cutting costs where they can. You know, you read a lot about layoffs in retail right now. You know, they're cut costs wherever they can. And frankly, they just aren't producing the operating results they did in the past. And most good retailers are still trying to get the top line, trying to get the sales, because they know once you lose market share, it's very hard to get it back. But, you know, a lot of retailers have been reporting declines year over year as recently as this week. So it's a very tough environment.
Yeah. And at a time like this, are people less apt to go off script, off the list, and be intrigued by something that they weren't ready to buy and add to whatever they were their list was? I'm wondering if people just want to stick to their budget much more now.
Absolutely. And they really don't have any choice. Clearly, everyone's in a different position in terms of where the family stands in terms of their household wealth. But we see that balance sheets as a whole are being depleted, that consumers are spending more off credit cards. And again, the first thing you have to do is put food on the table. So the first money goes to necessities, goes to food, goes to shelter, you know, cost of housing's way up, goes to, health and beauty care products that we use in our everyday life. So necessities win. And then you see what you have left over, and that's what you have to allocate around. That's what most people are doing. And so something that's a discretionary purchase or an impulse item, you know, we're all adults. So maybe this year isn't the year for that.
You, of course, know toys. You were in that business as the head of Toys R Us, which my son is still upset is pretty much gone. The toy, there's always the popular toy or toys. Is that the deal again this year? Are there toys that are must-haves?
There are always toys every year that are must-haves, and the kids follow the licensed properties a lot, you know, what's out now. And, you know, there's always something that's a must-have, but it varies by age. So people always ask me, what toy should I get? I'm like, well, it really depends, you know, on the age and development of the child. It's different for everyone and what they're interested in. So certainly you do very well with the hot toys, but those run out. Then the question comes, what's the right toy for the right child? And most of the retailers, here's where the internet has been helpful. They've done a brilliant job where you can search by age and by interest in various ways in order to find toys that are most appropriate overall.
Yeah, I see the National Retail Federation as number one toy for boys, Lego, then Hot Wheels, and for girls, Barbie and dolls.
Well, not much has changed, has it?
No.
Those are great products. They're iconic, and they have what we call, you know, great play value, and they're going to be around this year, next year, the year after.
A lot of people don't want to use much imagination when they shop. They love the gift card. That's pretty much the number one item to buy, isn't it?
Well, it's been growing every year, and why not? It's good for everyone. It's good for the retailer. They get the advantage of the float, you know, the money that the customer puts out before the product's actually received. And then it's easy. You don't have to worry, did I get the wrong thing for the gift giver? And the recipient can go and get whatever I want. This is great. So they've been growing every year, and they can be used online in most cases, you know. So they're fantastic products. I know we've spent a lot of time in my experience trying to make them more than just a number, if you know what I mean, because each one has a number on. So we try to put a pretty design on it, have them play tunes, have them be a little more of a something, you know,
right,
like a plush animal, whatever you can do to make it something more. But at the end of the day, the functionality is spectacular.
But the dirty little secret behind it is I not every dollar on those gift cards is ever redeemed, right? So retailers do get a little bonus, right?
Usually, yeah. It's, you know, and usually it runs about 3% over the life. It's not enormous.
While stores may be crowded today, many other shoppers will be buying at home. Adobe projects about $9 billion in online sales today. And then even more of us will online shop at work and home on Cyber Monday. Adobe predicts internet-based sales that day could hit $11.2 billion, 5% more than last year.
People talk about the resurgence of bricks and mortar store, but look where we're comparing it to. I mean, for the last few years, people were scared to go shopping because they might get sick or the store was actually closed. So, of course, there's more growth in the bricks and mortar channel. Question is, does Cyber Monday mean anything anymore? Just like, does Black Friday mean anything anymore? It's so diluted. You know, it's so oversold. So there's a deal every day. Go to Amazon right now, the biggest online retailer since we're talking about it. And what are you going to see? You know, new early Black Friday deals, new late Black Friday deals, new Monday deals, new deals for the weekend, new deals for tomorrow. You know, they're always going to be talking about what the hottest new deal is, as if there's always another deal. And in a way, there always is. So if Cyber Monday is huge, it will only be because retailers have saved enough deals and consumers have saved enough money that they got something left to spend. So I suspect the growth in Cyber Monday will not be spectacular, you know, compared to years past, just because, there's been so much promotional activity that's already taken place, most of it available online already.
Macy's has a one-day sale like every day. So what I wanted to know is those stores, department stores, some of them are gone. How are they surviving and how long can they survive in this current environment and the shift to the online?
Well, department stores are not, you know, the ones that are not highly leveraged, they're not going out of business anytime soon. And you see that with Macy's or Nordstrom. They reported kind of different types of results. Macy's beat expectations, so their stock went up. Nordstrom's stock went down. They reported just Tuesday of this week, so we saw them going down on Wednesday. But when you look at them, they're pretty similar in that they're not growing very much. And when you look over a period, for example, I did a study since 2014 to now. Department store sales are essentially flat in the U.S. during that period up to the current time. So flat. Think about it.
That's not good.
Meanwhile, it's not good because the retail market as a whole is up 50% during the same period. So that's a huge, massive loss of market share to other channels, including, you know, mass merchants like Target or Walmart, Costco, including people like Amazon. So what people may not realize is department stores are shrinking right before our eyes. Basically, they really aren't relevant economically or from a market share standpoint anymore. You're talking about 3% market share, you know, back a few years ago, down to 2% now. It's that kind of thing.
So at the end of the weekend, do you expect that we would have had a good several days of shopping? Or do you think that in your gut that retailers are going to be like, oh no, we have a tough road ahead here for the next several weeks?
I think at best, this is a so-so holiday. And once you adjust for inflation, for gosh sakes, it's pretty clear that sales will be negative. You know, if you took inflation out of it, and people were raving, for example, saying October retail sales weren't as bad as we thought, you know, that kind of a thing. And you take a look at what's been going on the last few months. And what you see is they're barely, if at all, keeping up with inflation sales. And most of the growth is in groceries and other necessities.
Jerry Storch, founder and CEO of Storch Advisors, former CEO for Toys R Us and Hudson Bay, former vice chairman at Target. Great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
This is Tommy Lahren with your Fox News commentary coming up.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Winter's coming, off season for America's national parks, and that makes it a good time for visitors wanting to soak in some nature with fewer people around. One of the tougher hikes is the Harding Icefield Trail in Alaska. Abby Hornacek did it for her Fox Nation show, Parked.
As we got higher and higher, we eventually broke well above the tree line, which is where we got our first look at the ice field.
Okay, it's peeking out right there amidst the trees and the mountains. Let's just hope we beat the fog up there, huh?
There are 63 national parks. Abby's been to just under half so far, she says.
We do 5 episodes per season. We're on season 6. We've done 30, but then third season was kind of cut short because of COVID.
This season, she's in Alaska, California, Kentucky, Washington State, and Arizona.
It's funny because people hear that we're in season six and they're like, oh, wow, are you going to go international when Parked is over? And I'm like, well, we still got a long way to go. Yeah. Our country is very good at preserving nature and our national parks, which is really cool.
And it's fun. Like, we always think of the big nature parks, but some of the national parks aren't, they're urban. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
there are sites in the middle, there are national parks in the middle of New York City.
Yeah, exactly. And there's one in Arkansas, which is, it's Hot Springs National Park. And we went there in a past season, and it's the only national park that has a brewery inside of the national park. So they use the hot springs water in their beer. So there are things like that, to your point. People think that it's just all nature. And some of them, I mean, Denali, that's coming out in season seven. Mm-hmm. It's in Alaska, and it's just all wilderness. There aren't really any trails. So you have that, but then you have the urban ones, too. It's very fascinating.
I know last year, 2021, coming out of COVID, when it was sort of half out of COVID, when lockdowns were lifted, but people still maybe wanted to feel a little bit safer outside, the parks just got hammered with visitors. Has that trend carried over?
You know, it hasn't. It hasn't. It's interesting because I think people, to your point, wanted to get out in nature and see things because they've been cooped up. But then this season, we kind of went to, for example, we went to Alaska for 11 days, and Kenai Fjords National Park isn't super accessible, so you didn't see a ton of people there. But then at a place like Petrified Forest National Park, which is in Arizona, it had a lot more people because you can just drive on up. And so it depends on the park. To answer your question, it really depends where you are. Yellowstone, I think, with the show, right, and just people loving it, and it's the 150th anniversary, so you saw a ton of people there, which is kind of a bummer because you have to wait in long lines to actually right. get into the park. But it's cool to connect with people in nature who also share that same love.
That first, you mentioned Alaska, that's the first episode of this season, one of the harder shoots so far.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely our most challenging because it was Kenai Fjords National Park, and basically, it's a bunch of glaciers. Harding Ice Field is something that people say if you go to Kenai Fjords, you have to visit. And one of the producers, I got to give him a huge shout out. His name's Bud Knapp. And to get to the Harding Ice Field, it's the largest ice field contained within the United States. And it's 23,000 years old around. That's what they estimate. And basically has 40 glaciers descending from the ice field. But to get to it, it's a very strenuous 8.2 mile hike. And with all of the gear, right. I mean, you've got these cameras, you've got the audio bag. And so it's very hard for some people to get up there. And Bud and I were like, you know what, let's just take a 360 cam, do the hike. But we started the hike at like 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. And by the time we got up there, the fog had rolled in. So we did this whole hike. And by the grace of God, we got to the top, and it just, the fog was there. And then at the snap of a finger, it was gone. And it's one of my favorite moments of the season because it was so much hard work. And it was such a reward when you got there because it was just stunning.
Most of the crews on these are, is it, wow, this is a really cool gig, or is it?
You're going to have to ask them that. It actually goes both ways. So we've been pretty blessed to have kind of a consistency since season one. Obviously, some people come in here and there, but when they leave, the people who have never been on a park shoot, they're like, wow, everyone told us this was vacation. And then after it, I mean, it's long hours, especially yeah. when we were in Alaska. We were waking up at maybe 6 a.m. and filming all the way until 10 p.m. because it doesn't get dark. Right. At the time we were there, it was still, I think, like 22 hours of sunlight. So we don't eat a lot. I always am in the best shape of my life because we've got power bars right. and oranges. That's what we're fueled by.
You go to Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Park.
Yep.
Always wanted to see the trees. How big, how old is it, as cool as it looks?
It is definitely as cool as it looks. And the thing about Sequoia, which, I mean, these are some of the oldest trees in the world mm-hmm. that, like you just mentioned. And I think one of the most interesting things, because the first question I had was like, how do these things last so long? I mean,
yeah, like 3,000 something years, right?
Yeah, thousands and thousands of years. And they actually depend on fire, because not necessarily forest fire, because as we've seen, forest fires have really ravaged that area. Mm-hmm. And it's really devastating to the trees. But some of these controlled burns and some of these just fires that happen naturally are really good for them, because the soil opens up and the saplings release when they're exposed to heat. So the bark is extremely thick. It's very resistant to fires. So when the fire actually touches the trees, it's not as bad for them. But yeah, I love it. And the thing, people look at Sequoia and Kings Canyon, you're like, okay, maybe there's not much to do once you see one tree, you've seen them all kind of thing. But it's just, that's kind of a misconception, because you can do the Sequoia National Forest for parked. We went rock climbing there, and it's just the views are stunning. And it's not all trees everywhere. I think people expect just to see all of these tall things in their way, but there is so much more to see there. And Kings Canyon is one of the deepest canyons, and it's just absolutely breathtaking.
You get this podcast too. You do a bunch of stuff around here. This podcast, Getting Schooled. So you take a topic, you get an expert, mm-hmm. and you learn it about yourself, and your listeners learn about it. Anything that you legitimately didn't know going in? A couple things that you were just like, oh, no kidding, I didn't know that. I'm glad I did this podcast.
Ooh. I have to think back to some of the episodes that I've done. We're coming up on 160 episodes by the end of this year, and when you actually, I do this thing at the end of each podcast called takeaways. I basically say, if you miss anything during class, these are the top takeaways, mm-hmm. things you should know, just in case people want the spark notes. And what I've learned in doing that is once you start to try to teach someone else something, that's when you really learn. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there having someone teach me, and hopefully our audience too. But when I try to repeat it, that's when I'm like, wow, I really learned something new. And I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but something that comes to mind is with 5G way back, as one of our very first episodes. And I remember thinking, I see 5G all the time on the top of my phone, but I don't really know what that means. And
no
I don't
idea.
Know, 4G, 5G, what kind of technology is it presenting? And I think it's times like that when you realize that there are so many things that we think we know about, but we don't actually know.
Yeah, and stuff you just live with every day that you're like, oh, huh, I don't know what that is. Oh, well.
Yes, I'm
just
yes. Gonna,
I know that 5G is better than 4, which is better than 3, but that's all I
right.
figure I really need to know about it.
Completely.
Christmas season kicking in. You're a Christmas girl?
I love Christmas. I am the definition of Christmas if I was to. No, I'm just kidding. I wish I could be. That's Jesus. He's the definition of Christmas. But yeah, I love Christmas, and I am the person who decorates before Thanksgiving. So you might hate me.
No, not at all. You like the movies? I used to make fun of my mom for watching the Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
They're about all the same. I feel like given a week or two, I could write 2 or 3 of them. Like they're all, you get to check off the boxes. But they're very comforting.
They are so comforting. And I think I have this tradition with my family. You know, we watch It's a Wonderful Life during the mm-hmm. Christmas season. And I love Christmas movies because there's always a message. Always, no matter what. Doesn't matter if it's a silly Christmas movie or if it's a deep Christmas movie, you always leave feeling good about yourself. This is the thing about movies nowadays, is sometimes you leave the theater or you turn off Netflix or whatever and you're like, I feel kind of funny. I don't really, I'm going to go cry. I mean, some things are dark, but Christmas movies, it's always, even if there is something that happens within the Christmas movie, it always turns around and you leave feeling a lot better.
The uptight woman from the city is going to fall in love with the guy from the country who's been widowed and has the cute little girl.
That sounds like a great movie.
Yeah.
And one that's been made a million times.
I told you I could knock him out. I find a good conversation topic, Christmas-wise, by the way, is, and you can also tell somebody's age, sort of. What favorite present as a kid that you really, 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 really wanted and that you got and that you jumped up and down about?
So this is more of a fan. I'll answer this question in two ways. To answer your question just directly, it's my mom makes us a homemade gift every year, and I have two older brothers. So there was this blanket she made back when I was like 5 years old, and then I had that blanket. I still have that blanket, and it's one of my favorite things. I slept with it up until probably I went to college. Now it's embarrassing to admit. No,
that's the sweetest answer I've ever heard to that question because everybody says whatever the hot toy was.
Yeah.
Or a bike or whatever.
Well, that's what I was going to say is my mom, we're definitely a homemade gift kind of family. And I love that because it just shows someone put a lot of thought and time and energy into it. But if I was to pick a toy, I was obsessed with skateboarding when I was younger. And there was this toy store in the mall, and it had a skateboard, and it said Monsoon on the bottom. And it was like blue and white, and I thought it was super cool. And I got that for Christmas 1 year, and I decided to be Tony Hawk for the rest of my life.
Cool. How'd you do?
I
Can you skate? Can you skate now?
I can skate now, yes. It's been a while because now in the city I don't really do it. But my brothers and I, when we were younger, we ended up building a skateboarding ramp and decorating it with Van stickers and all that. But we got plywood from a house next door that was being built. They had extra plywood, so they let us have it. And we ended up just building this thing in our driveway. And it ended up being one of the best memories because I got to spend that time with my family. And my brother did rollerblading, my other one did BMX, and then I was a skateboarder. So.
Well, happy holidays. Merry Christmas in advance.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
Abby Hornacek, host of Parked on Fox Nation, among all the other jobs she's got around here at Fox News headquarters. Abby, thanks. Good to see you.
Thank you. That was fun.
And now, some good news with Tanya J. Powers.
The Alaska wildlife troopers are accustomed to getting calls for assistance, but recently they got an unusual one. They were called to help with a loose moose. It seems the moose, estimated to be a one-year-old bull, had a misstep while having some breakfast by a window well of a home's basement. The moose then fell into the window, then through the glass, into the basement. That's where it was stuck, one floor below ground. A biologist from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game was able to tranquilize the moose, but it wasn't completely unconscious and just sat there and looked around. Then they had to get the animal out of the house. This is a good time to tell you that he weighed at least 500 pounds. Responders grabbed a transport tarp to use as a stretcher for the moose, and it took six men to carry him through the house and back outside. Photos show the moose unfazed, just looking ahead, taking in the view from his ride outside. The Anchorage Daily News reports that he was treated for minor lacerations to his legs where he fell through the window. Once the sedative wore off, the moose hopped up and took off. On the loose, once again, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Tommy Lahren.
What's on your mind?
The entire U.S. military is struggling to fill its ranks, but the Army is the worst off. That branch, our largest branch, is falling short between 10 and 15,000 recruits this year, and 2023 is not looking better. But New York Times opinion writer Peter Coy has a solution. Lower standards for physical fitness, obesity, and even drug use. Just wow. That's just what we need. Out-of-shape soldiers with drug problems serving in our armed forces. No, me thinks lowering the standards for our largest fighting force is not the answer. Instead, why not address the vaccine mandates, the wokeism that's been pushed by top brass, the low morale of those currently serving under a commander-in-chief who is incompetent at best? There are other employment fields where lowering standards could be a solution. The United States military is not in that category. The USA does not level down. We level up. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can listen to all of my hot takes at Fox News Commentary.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, Fox News Rewind Financial Crisis 08. A look back at the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression.
The market is not functioning properly.
Subscribe now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is Jimmy Fallon, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.